He overcame many temptations to worship and adore, for he longed to do so, but to worship the highest one alone, for only this seemed right to him. Earth, the mother, tempted him, she who preserves life and brings forth fruit. But he saw her neediness, which only heaven can supply, and so he turned his face upwards. Him tempted the turmoil of the clouds, the uproar of the storm, the pelting rain, the blue lightning flash driving down, the thunder's rattling roar. But he shook his head at their claims, for his soul instructed him they were all of the second rank. They were no better, so his soul spake to him, than he himself, perhaps lesser indeed, although so mighty. And though they were above him, it was simply in space, but not in spirit. To pray to them, so he felt, was to pray too near and too low, and better not at all, he said to himself, than too near or low, for that was an abomination.
Good, said Amenhotep almost soundlessly, and kneaded his chin. Good. Wait, no, go on. Mama, pay attention.
Yes, how many great manifestations did not tempt my forefather, Joseph went on. The whole host of the stars was among them, the shepherd and his sheep. They were indeed far and high, and very great in their courses, but he saw them scattered before the beams of the morning star, and she indeed was surpassing lovely, of twofold nature, and rich in tales, yet weak, too weak for that which she heralded. She paled before it and vanished away. Poor morning star!
Spare your regrets, ordered the king. Here is matter for triumph, for tell me what it was she paled before, and who appeared, whom she had heralded, he asked, making his voice sound as proud and threatening as it could.
Of course, the sun, Joseph replied. What a temptation for him who so longed to worship. Before its cruelty and its benignity, all peoples of the earth bowed down. But my ancestor's caution was unlimited, his reservations endless. Peace and satisfaction, he said, are not the point. The all-important thing is to avoid the great peril to the honor of humanity, that man should bow down before a lower than the highest. Mighty art thou, he said to Shamash Marduk Bel, and mighty is thy power of blessing and cursing, but something there is above thee, in me a worm, and it warns me not to take the witness for that which it witnesses. The greater the witness, the greater the fault in me if I let myself be misled to worship it instead of that to which it bears witness. God-like is the witness, but yet not God. I too am a witness and a testimony, I and my doing and dreaming, which mount up above the sun towards that to which it more mightily bears witness than even itself, and whose heat is greater than the heat of the sun.
Mother, Amenhotep whispered, without turning his eyes from Joseph, what did I say? No, I did not say it, I only knew it. It was said to me. When of late I had my seizure, and revelation was vouchsafed me for the improvement of the teaching, for it is not complete, never have I asserted that it was complete. Then I heard my father's voice, and it spoke to me, saying, I am the heat of the Aton, which is in him. But millions of suns could I feed from my fires. Callest thou me Aton? Then know that the name itself stands in need of improvement. When you call me so, you are not calling me by my last and final name, for my last name is the Lord of the Aton. Thus Pharaoh heard it, the father's beloved child, and brought it back with him out of his attack. But he kept silent, and even the silence made him forget. Pharaoh has set truth in his heart, for the father is the truth. But he is responsible for the triumph of the teaching, that all men may receive it, and he is concerned lest the improvement and purification, until at last it consist only of the pure truth, might mean to make it unteachable. This is a sore concern, which no one can understand, save one on whom as much responsibility rests as on Pharaoh. For others it is easy to say, you have not set truth in your heart, but rather the teaching. Yet the teaching is the sole means of bringing men nearer the truth. It should be improved. But if one improve it to the extent that it becomes unavailable as a medium of truth, I ask the Father and you, will not only then the reproach be justified that I have shut up the teaching in my heart to the disadvantage of the truth? Pharaoh shows mankind the image of the revered Father made by his artists, the golden disk from which rays go down upon his creatures, ending in tender hands which caress all creation. Adore, he commands. This is the Aton, my Father, whose blood runs in me, who revealed himself to me, but will be Father to you all, that you may become good and lovely in him. And he adds, pardon, dear human beings, that I am so strict with your thoughts. Gladly would I spare your simplicity, but it must be. Therefore I say to you, not the image shall you worship when you worship, not to it sing your hymns when you sing, but rather to him whose image it is, you understand, the true disk of the sun, my Father in the sky, who is the Aton, for the image is not yet he. That is hard enough. It is a challenge to men. Out of 112 understand it. But if now the teacher says, still another and further effort must I urge upon you for the sake of truth, however much it pains me for your simplicity, for the image is but the image of the image, and witness to a witness. Not the actual round sun up there in the sky are you to think of when you burn incense to his image and sing his praise. Not this, but the Lord of Aton, who is the heat in it, and who guides its course. That goes too far. It is too much teaching, and not 12, not even one, understands. Only Pharaoh himself understands, who is outside of all count, and yet he is supposed to teach the many. Your forefather, soothsayer, had an easy task, although he made it hard for himself. He might make it as hard as he liked, striving after truth for his own sake and the sake of his pride, for he was only a wanderer. But I am king and teacher. I may not think what I cannot teach, whereas such a one very soon learns not even to think the unteachable. Here T, his mother, cleared her throat, rattled her ornaments, and said, looking ahead of her into space, Pharaoh is to be praised when he practices statesmanship in matters of religious belief and spares the simplicity of the many. That is why I warned him not to wound the popular attachment to Usir, king of the lower regions. There is no contradiction between knowing and sparing in this connection, and the office of teacher need not darken knowledge. Never have priests taught the multitude all they themselves know. They have told them what was wholesome, and wisely left in the realm of the mysteries what was not beneficial. Thus knowledge and wisdom are together in the world, truth and forbearance. The mother recommends that it so remain. Thank you, Mama, said Amenhotep with a deprecating bow. Thank you for the contribution. It is very valuable and will for eternal ages be held in honor. But we are speaking of two different things. My Majesty speaks of the fetters which the teaching puts upon the thoughts of God. Yours refers to priestly statecraft, which divides teaching and knowledge. But Pharaoh would not be arrogant, and there is no greater arrogance than such a division. No, there is no arrogance in the world greater than that of dividing the children of our Father into initiate and uninitiate, and teaching double words, all knowingly for the masses, knowingly in the inner circle. No, we must speak what we know, and witness what we have seen. Pharaoh wants to do nothing but improve the teaching, even though it be made hard for him by the teaching. And still it has been said to me, call me not Aton, for that is in need of improvement. Call me the Lord of the Aton. But I, through keeping silent, forgot. See now what the Father does for his beloved son. He sends him a messenger and dream interpreter who shows him his dreams, dreams from below and dreams from above, dreams important for the realm and for heaven, that he should awaken him what he already knows and interpret what was already said to him. Yes, how loveth the Father his child the king who came forth out of him, that he sends down a soothsayer to him to whom from long ages has been handed down the teaching that it profits man to press on towards the last and highest.
To my knowledge, T. coldly remarked, your soothsayer came up from below, out of a dungeon, and not from above.
Ah, in my opinion, that is sheer mischief, that he came from below, cried Amenhotep. And besides, above and below mean not much to the Father, who, when he goes down, makes the lower the upper, for where he shines, there is the upper world, from which it comes that his messengers interpret dreams from above and below with equal skill. Go on, soothsayer. Did I say stop? If I did, I meant go on. That wanderer out of the east from whom you spring did not stop at the sun, but pressed on above it?
Yes, in spirit, answered Joseph, smiling. For in the flesh he was but a worm on this earth, weaker than most of those above and below him, and still he refused to bow and to worship, even before one of these phenomena, for they were but witness and work, as he himself was. All being, he said, is a work of the highest, and before the being is the spirit of whom it bears witness. How could I commit so great a folly and burn incense to a witness, be it never so weighty? I, who am consciously a witness, whereas the others simply are and know it not. Is there not something in me of him, for which all being is but evidence of the being which is greater than his works and is outside them? It is outside the world, and though it is the compass of the world, yet is the world not its compass. Far is the sun, surely 360,000 miles away, and yet his rays are here. But he who shows the sun the way hither is further than far, yet near in the same measure, nearer than near. Near or far is all the same to him, for he has no space nor any time, and though the world is in him, he is not in the world at all, but in heaven.
Did you hear that, Mama?
Asked Amenhotep in a small voice, tears in his eyes.
Did you hear the message which my heavenly Father sends me through this young man, in whom I straightway saw something as he came in, and who interprets to me my dreams? I will only say that I have not said all that was said to me in my seizure, and keeping silent, forgot it. But when I heard, call me not Aton, but rather the Lord of the Aton, then I heard also this, call on me not as my Father above, for that is of the sun in the sky. It must needs be changed to say, my Father, who art in heaven. So heard I, and shut it up within me, because I was anxious over the truth for the sake of the teaching. But he whom I took out of the prison, he opens the prison of truth, that she may come forth in beauty and light, and teaching and truth shall embrace each other, even as I embrace him. And with wet eyelashes he worked himself up out of his sunken seat, embraced Joseph, and kissed him. Yes, yes, he cried.
He began to hurry once more up and down the Cretan loggia to the B-portières, to the windows and back, his hands pressed to his heart.
Yes, yes, who art in heaven, further than far and nearer than near, the being of beings that looks not into death, that does not become and die, but is the abiding light, that neither rises nor sets, the unchanging source out of which stream all life, light, beauty, and truth, that is the Father. So reveals he himself to Pharaoh his son, who lies in his bosom, and to whom he shows all that he has made. For he has made all, and his love is in the world, and the world knows him not. But Pharaoh is his witness, and bears witness to his light and his love, that through him all men may become blessed and may believe, even though now they still love the darkness more than the light that shines in it. For they understand it not, therefore are their deeds evil. But the Son, who came from the Father, will teach it to them. Golden Spirit is the light, Father Spirit. Out of the mother depths below, power strives upward to it, to be purified in its flame and become spirit in the Father. Immaterial is God, like his sunshine. Spirit is he, and Pharaoh teaches you to worship him in spirit and in truth. For the Son knoweth the Father as the Father knoweth him, and will royally reward all those who love him and keep his commandments. He will make them great and gilded at court, because they love the Father in the Son who came out of him. For my words are not mine, but the words of my Father who sent me, that all might become one in light and love, even as I and the Father are one.
He smiled an all-too-blissful smile, at the same time grew pale as death. Putting his hands on his back, he leaned against the painted wall, closed his eyes, and so remained, upright indeed, but obviously no longer present. The Wise and Understanding Man. T, the mother, came down from her chair into the hall and approached the rapt one with short, decided steps. She looked at him a moment, gave him a quick little tap with the back of one finger across his cheek, of which he was obviously unconscious, and turned to Joseph. "He will exalt you," said she, with her bitter smile. Her pouting mouth and the lines round it were probably incapable by their shape of any smile but a bitter one. Joseph, in some alarm, was looking over at Amenhotep. "Do not be distressed," she said. "He does not hear us. He is unwell. He has his affliction, but it is not serious. I knew it would end like this when he would keep on talking about joy and tenderness. It always ends the same way, although sometimes it is more severe. When he began on the mice and chickens, I was sure how it would turn out, but I was certain when he kissed you. You must take it in the light of his special susceptibility."